question, how much merit do you put on it? But who was out there? Do you think, man, this guy has a chance to winning, and you or some other fullbacks you think to deserve it, AFC and NFC?
You know what? I like Anthony Sherman out in Kansas City. I think he was very well deserving of his Pro Bowl bid. I was surprised at this first because I think he's been doing it, you know, for a long time. I think he's been doing it really well. I like Roosevelt Nix out with the Steelers. You know, he always shows up on special teams, but that guy, he's a dog as a fullback, too. He'll go out there and dump you. And I like James Devlin as well for the Patriots. You know, he's a guy, another Ivy League guy that came to the NFL and, you know, found a spot at the fullback.
Talking fullbacks with Kyle Juszczyk here, Pro Bowler here on 95.7 The Game. You won't be going alone. Your teammate George Kittle also going. How cool will that be for you to go with a teammate and to see a first-timer making it as well?
Really excited about that, man. Wish I could have some more teammates, but, man, George and I are going to have a great time. And, you know, I remember how excited I was for my first Pro Bowl. That's definitely the biggest one. So really happy for him, and I know he's going to be excited too.
Is Kittle upset by the fact that this one's in Orlando and not Hawaii?
You know what? I haven't talked to him about those details, but I know when I first got it, I was surprised because I thought all the Pro Bowls were in Hawaii. So that was news to me when I found out I was going to Orlando. But I've had a great time in Orlando the past 2 years. Universal and Disney have been an absolute blast. So I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Yeah, I loved Hawaii, hanging out by the pool and all the things you have to offer. And it's really, really a great time. You get to see a lot of guys. You know, you can be a fan and be a fan of others and then be a fan of you. You're trading of the jerseys and all the different things that happen before the game and the locker room. Now, during that week, I know Kittle's probably asleep right now. So are you going to get his room number and do a little damage, charging some stuff? Tell him. You ain't going to let him in on the secrets, are you, bro? Are you going to get him?
I got to get him.
You got to.
But I got him.
Kyle Juszczyk, 49er Pro Bowl fullback, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Obviously, you'll be going with Kittle, but some of the bigger news as well is the fact that DeForest Buckner, who has had more sacks for a 49er player since Alden Smith's 19 and a half a few years back, he is listed as an alternate. Richard Sherman and Joe Staley miss out completely. How big of a surprise was it to hear that news?
It's a really big surprise. I thought, Depot especially, I thought he was a shoo-in. I thought there's no chance he didn't make it because I think he's extremely deserving. I mean, his numbers absolutely say it, but if you just watch any Niners game, you just see how he can take over on the defensive line. But, you know, guys like Staley and Sherman, I think those guys definitely deserve the nod as well. They've both been having phenomenal years. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that I think deserve it. But, you know, it's tough when you're 4-10. You don't always get the most exposure. And it's kind of hard to validate tons of Pro Bowl picks when you have that record.
What does it say about your team, the fact that you're playing so well in December with a win over Denver and a win over Seattle? Seems like that obviously no one is going into shutdown mode, but what does it say about the entire organization that you're playing so well still in Denver?
You know what, I said earlier in the season, I feel like we just have such a young team and we are still trying to learn how to win. And I feel like it's starting to come around a little bit. We're starting to figure out how to finish games. You know, even from last season to this season, there was a lot of turnover. And we kind of went through a similar thing last year where we were trying to learn how to win, and we figured it out, pieced it together at the end of the season. I feel like we're doing the same thing this year.
Kyle Juszczyk with us here on 95.7 The Game. Tell me what you're seeing on tape as you study Vic Fangio's Chicago Bears defense. These guys have made a lot of noise this season. They've got a lot of players going to the Pro Bowl. There's a ton of talent over there. What are you guys seeing on tape?
Man, I mean, these guys are ferocious. Their defense applies to the ball. A lot of big-time playmakers. You know, there's a lot that we have to account for, and it's going to be a fun challenge for us on offense.
Before the game starts, this is what you need to do to Khalil. You go up and say, hey, Khalil, just want to tell you, man, hey, love watching you play, but I'm going to have to cut you today. You know, I'm just letting you know. I don't want you. You ever drop that on guys just to try to get in their head a little bit? I used to do that all the time. Like, hey, bro, just want you to know. My coach told me I hate doing it, but I got to cut you.
Nothing personal.
Yeah, nothing personal. You ever drop that line on him?
100%. That happens all the time. I don't. You know what? It's actually funny you bring that up because I feel guys have been getting salty with me with the amount of cut blocks I've been throwing out there lately. I've been hearing it from defensive players, but I keep telling them it's part of the game, and if they want to try and drop that boom, they're going to get cut.
Who are the defensive players that are getting vocal with you over it?
I'll tell you what, Bobby Wagner was not happy about it last week.
Keep that knife
out. Well, that's Seattle.
Yeah, keep that knife. Hey, keep that knife out, brother, and keep cutting them. I'll tell you what, though, really quick, when you go over this Pro Bowl, guys like Saquon Barkley, Drew Brees, all those guys, be sure you get pictures. These Pro Bowls, cherish these moments, get as many pictures. I know sometimes it's uncomfortable. I'm telling you, in my career, the best thing I did is get so many pictures with so many great legends. So enjoy this moment.
Thanks, man. Great piece of advice.
Three-time Pro Bowler, 49ers fullback, Kyle Juszczyk with us here on 95.7 The Game. Kyle, we know Kyle Shanahan has a really early practice session for you guys today. Thank you so much for your time. Congratulations once again. Good luck against the Bears this weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
Boom. Kyle Juszczyk, ladies and gentlemen. What a gem. What a gem of a human being.
Yes.
Right now, caller number 13, as in the number of times Jerry Rice was voted into the Pro Bowl, caller 13 is going to win some Jerry Rice autographed memorabilia. 888-957-9570. Ladies and gentlemen, 888-957-9570. Every day this week at 8 o'clock, we're giving away autographed Jerry Rice swag simply because we love you and because we want to say thank you. Did you want to say something? You were kind of...
Yeah, just
such a provocative pose there. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I could always show you my toes and my feet, but
there's sadly time for that later. Unfortunately,
yeah, you got a couple minutes. Joe, I was just going to ask you a question.
Get some time.
Okay, so Joe, hypothetically here, if you're watching a basketball game and you know a guy's maybe a kid plays basketball and you hear a story and they tell you, hey, you know what, the clock's running. And they're doing a free throw, and they're still letting the clock run. And their dad tells you, "Dad, they're letting the clock run, doing free throws. You're supposed to stop the clock." We get that. And then you don't really necessarily know the guy great, or it's just a friend. He's telling you the story. Do you feel the need, if you're an official, to go and say, "I'll address this, and I'll go and talk to this official. Who is it? What's going on?" Mm-hmm. Is that? Do you think that's a little too much, or do you think that's just being a great Samaritan?
It's a great question. And I'll answer
that.
It
was poorly laid out, but it is a great question nonetheless.
I would love to address it, but unfortunately, I do have to get to business.
Oh, my goodness.
Turns out Robert Griffin III tears the ligament in his knee with 6 minutes and 21 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Seattle winning 21-14. Your facts, may they
rest in peace.
Fake news. As usual, woo-hoo, from the four-time Pro Bowler Lorenzo Neal.
Man, that's a two-point reversal in wrestling.
Yeah.
They were going in to score. So Robert Griffin really believed they would have won that game. And I think everyone knew they would have won that
game.
Sure.
Yeah, everyone knew it. Everyone.
Except Seattle.
Except, you know, it was the fact that it was the start of the title run for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, the Redskins definitely won that game.
Sure.
Start 14-0, fall 24-14. All right, we got a lot left in this show. Brian Urlacher, the Hall of Famer, is coming up at 8:30. Steve Mariucci at 8:45. And we hate to do it, but there is another funeral coming next here on Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Tune in today at 4:50 to play Warriors Trivia Takedown. Your chance to win $1,800.
Bingo! Yahtzee!
Is that your final answer?
Our survey says
ding, 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 ding.
Then listen to Warriors Jazz at 6. Only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
I got three locks, Dibs. I want you to lock these three up. Then I'm willing to prison bet this thing. Okay.
Someone get San Quentin on the phone.
Yeah, really watering down the prison
bet. Candidate coming in.
Mark the tape. Kittle, locking, Pro Bowl.
Kittle to the Pro Bowl, lock. No, wait. Is this going to be the announcement today?
Yes.
Not as an alternate.
Yes.
Okay, Kittle, lock it.
I mean, that's not really going on much of a limb.
Okay, son, can I finish this? Thank you. Buckner, lock it up. Cal Juszczyk, lock it up. Wow. That's my three level.
It's a tough day.
They're coming in bunches.
It's a sad day when you think about it. I don't know if anyone's ever attended this many funerals in one day.
Wednesday wake.
Wednesday wake,
not bad. Brought to you by
Warriors Mortuary. Warriors Wednesday, in fact, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Just named the Bay Area since 1922. You can always follow along on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, but I digest.
Yes, dearly beloved, two was true, but three could not be. Unfortunately, Lo'Neal was oh so close to greatness, but the insistence to mark the tape and Joe's wisdom to clarify
that's what got me. You sucker. Cost me six figures to that legal background, but it was all worth it. All worth it. Every last student loan I'm still paying off.
I had a nice ugulagi going, but we should probably cut to the chase and just simply say,
rest in peace.
Brutal to get casket slapped like that at the same time.
I had it. You said, does that mean alternate too? He did get me with that. I was like, God darn it.
There will be no loopholes.
It wasn't necessarily a loophole. Listen.
It's literally the definition of a loophole. That's what that would have been.
You know what the biggest loophole is? Is everyone else got it wrong except me. These idiots to go out here and not vote this guy into a Pro Bowl is absolutely ferocious. It's a shame.
Ferocious.
Thank you, Daniel. And you look at his numbers. He dominated in every stat. It's without a doubt. He should have been in the Pro Bowl. Hicks shouldn't be there over him. Cox shouldn't be there over him. It's not even close. And they were wrong and out of line. And for you guys to sit here and funeralize this. And Joe, by the way, you wasn't it all this stuff that you went and studied when those people were hitting you on the text line and they're hitting you on the Twitter and the Instagram? You should have said, look, I understand he didn't make it, but should he? And that's the thing. We're caught on semantics, all the things that surround this guy. Buckner, he should have been a Pro Bowl. These other fools got it wrong. You know, his numbers speak for itself.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's an old adage, I believe. It comes from the Bible.
In your heart, is he a Pro Bowler? Does he
in your heart, not your head or your soul
in
or
your head,
on, the,
your
on, the
heart,
field.
On the field.
In your heart, in your, is he a Pro Bowler?
In my heart of hearts?
No.
Or just my heart?
No, just in the numbers and everything, the stats.
He's not a Pro Bowler.
Why? Tell me why not.
Because your team is 4-10. Your defense isn't that great. So you have some good individual numbers. That's a cute story. It's a cute story, bro. You're 4-10. Your defense is not very good. And ultimately, to me, you don't reward a guy on a bad defense just because he had a good year.
He's getting doubled, tripled, all the stuff, and didn't have help around, so he's not a Pro Bowler. For you to say that is crazy, man. It's crazy.
Right. Brian Urlacher, the Hall of Famer, is going to join us in 9 minutes.
Yes.
Now, you've been taking a beating today.
I have.
And you've been a good sport about it.
That
and you've also brought your A game today, despite the fact that you tried to run me over with your truck this morning as I was riding my bike into the building.
It was needed.
Building.
But I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue it. If I end up going out because someone I know hits me with their truck, most people will probably agree that that was a reasonable way for me to go out. But I know that there are a couple topics on this show that you tend to really enjoy talking about. So for a few moments, we will open up the floor to you, Lo'Neal. Here's some audio for you.
Lakers get it up the floor in a hurry. James, hard drive. Oh, rejected. LaFroe just got the king.
Nets beat the Lakers last night. LeBron just absolutely destroyed as he tried to take it to the rack.
How many did he have last night?
One. A loss.
For one, it never happens.
LeBron James!
It's nice. Too much going on right now. Okay, LeBron gets jammed at the rim. We get it. He was on his way down. The guy, the young fella, made a play. He's going to remember that for life. LeBron has had over 1,900 some slams. That is one of the rarest thing. It leads SportsCenter. It leads every talking head. I sent you guys articles. I sent you guys an article. This never happens. All the slams that he has. I think he's been blocked only like nine times.
Nine times,
so
coach.
That's why I sent that to you guys to see. So this kid now, this is like the guy who got that big hit on me. What, you know, guys don't even know his name.
Good point.
You guys don't even know who he is. He was a hung tooth.
But it does make the career for the guy. Like, he can always look back on that. And you're right.
I've got LeBron James. The guy got me. I mean, you did look at it. He's trying to look it up. He doesn't even know the guy.
This is for those who are thinking about wondering what we're talking about. It's right here.
First down. Neal running straight ahead.
Marcus Andrews. That never happens to Lorenzo Neal.
And he's still down, I believe.
That was a shot. Wow.
That's enough.
The wow really brought it home.
And the thing about it, You guys are both smiling. And even the little top ropes over here smell. Someone got hurt. I was freaking hurt. I was
wow.
And you guys are sitting there laughing. Sometimes I'm telling you, you guys are evil.
It's only because you guys. We know you pulled through.
I pulled through. You guys are sitting here laughing. Joel's over here turning bright red. He's laughing. And I got hit. I was freaking hurt, bro. You guys don't know if it's fake. That's not fake news. Top rope, you ain't happy about that?
No, I'm not.
Oh, go to hell, top rope.
All right, all right.
It's Christmas.
All right, no more jokes. It's you. This has been a rough swing for you here. It's been a rough swing for you.
And then the text line add on. Hey, how about K5? Add that in here. You guys are
damn. Hold on, there is something on here. I stumbled into the text line, the Chilton Auto Body text line, a few moments ago, and I think you'll like this. Damn, there are so many of these.
They love it. You guys are eating.
There's a guy who said, I can't quote the name because I can't find it, but there's a guy who said, Pat from the Stack.
Pat from the Stack.
He was in a meeting the other day, and he can't explain, but he used the word Hirocious.
Awesome. Well done, Pat. Pat from the Stack bringing it. You got to bring the show material everywhere. If you can uptick, you know, if you're at church or if you're in a meeting with the boss, whatever, you got to bring all that stuff out.
If you can get Hirocious in, Motorboat, people are getting it into.
People are really, really messing that one up good. You got them all twisted up on that. You got people saying Motorboat everywhere and got people are looking at, like, Hirocious, it's kind of like, all right, that may have been a misspeak.
Yeah.
But Motorboat is, no, you have the wrong terminology, and it's, I regret to inform you, it's a show thing.
Exactly.
Those who are in the know, the billions, they know what Motorboat means.
They know.
As we run down the greatest hits, I think I Digest is my personal favorite because you can say it, and people are like, they're expecting you to say I digress, but you say it, and they're not sure how to react to that.
One of you, I think it was you, Dibs, the other day when you were breaking something down, actually said, I digress, and the whole room looked at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
there should have been a flag on the play.
Can you please throw the flag now?
It's a late call, but it's a late call, but it had to be thrown.
I don't even know if it was actually you. I just know it was somebody.
Somebody.
Could have been Lo.
It's possible. I think Lo actually has said it once correctly.
Yeah, I hate when I say it the right way.
Boom,
away.
Digest
is, because, you know, it feels wrong.
Yeah.
Feels wrong.
I can't say it in real life anymore.
You don't want to be a lemming. You don't want to go with the crowd and do what everyone else does. You want to kind of break away, be your own person. I digest. It's something that people can gravitate to.
Right, and Hirocious, it means, it's such a great word. And people are like, what the hell? No,
it's not actually a word. It's just a great.
No.
It is an Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary. We looked it up.
Hirocious is an Urban Dictionary? I'd have to imagine that's courtesy of you.
Absolutely.
Well,
how about Digest?
We even got Pop saying it. And Little Great Papa, thanks for helping Joe out on that.
He's one of the billions.
No, he's wrong. Me and that little guy used to have some good times together. And now
you're talking about LGP, Little Great Papa?
Yeah, for him to do that and help Joe out, it's Hirocious.
From the 415 on the Chilton Autobody text line, all I want for Christmas is the Pat Burrell story. So things are starting to turn in here.
Yes,
hurry.
Thank you.
I don't know if we're going to have time for the Pat Burrell story this year. Maybe in 2019.
No. It's a Christmas classic. Christmas
maybe it comes back in 2019.
Yeah, is the Pat Burrell story a Christmas story? Is it a Christmas movie?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there are so many instances. One of them has to have happened over Christmas. Now that I think about it. Maybe tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow's my last day before the Christmas break. Maybe tomorrow we'll do the Pat Burrell story.
Storytelling.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. If you want the Pat Burrell story, you got to hit up the text line and let us know. Otherwise, we don't see it. Clearly not enough people are into it. We won't do it. Fair?
Please.
Absolutely.
Fair? All right.
Tomorrow we can stretch out with a little story time because it's all of our last shows for the year. We'll be back in January, so maybe we'll stretch out tomorrow a little story
Storytelling got to be. Your long trip across the world, we've got to get that story in.
My failed trip to Vermont.
Yes, in the snow.
My drive to Vermont.
Your Christmas movie.
I mean, it is snow, so it's a Christmas story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Struck out looking. That was a 4-strikeout game for me.
That's a drama. That's a horror film. That thing's all rolled up. That's a genre crosser is what that one is.
The kind of movie you see and you're just waiting for the underdog to get the girl in the end, and all you see is me driving out of town alone.
Yeah, the movie ends just how you'd expect it to. The handsome guy wins.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow. Let's do these tomorrow. Yes,
all right.
Absolutely.
Before Urlacher comes on with us in a couple minutes here, this weekend might be the most intriguing weekend of all for Niners football. You have so many subplots to the main storyline, which is Bears versus Niners. You have Akeem Hicks, who was named to the Pro Bowl as a defensive lineman, versus DeForest Buckner, who was not named to the Pro Bowl. That's an interesting storyline. You have Mitchell Trubisky, who the Bears acquired by trading from 3-2 in the 2017 draft with the Niners, taking on Solomon Thomas, who was the pick the Niners took at 3, as well as some other individuals. We'll break that trade down later and take a stroll down memory lane. And then you have the matchup between Vic Fangio and Kyle Shanahan. These two have gotten together three times in the past. A Shanahan offense has gone against a Fangio defense three times in the past. And we will break that down in just a moment, but we are very happy to go to the phones. Ladies and gentlemen, he is an NFL Hall of Famer, an eight-time Pro Bowler, a four-time All-Pro, and one of the greatest Bear defenders to ever play the game. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Urlacher joining Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Brian, thank you for the time this morning. How's life been treating you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Things are good, man. Just hanging out with my family, trying to keep my kids in line if I can.
Well, listen, we appreciate the time as always. Let's start with the Bears defense. Having played in Chicago, you know what it's like to be a defender living in the shadow of 1985, but you also captained quite a few stellar defenses. Based on what you know about Bears history, 85, what you lived through and what you're seeing right now, where does this Bears defense rank?
Man, it's so hard to rank them because the eras were different. And now with the NFL, everybody throws the ball. They put up 30 points, unless they're playing the Bears, of course. They score a ton of points. But it's just hard to compare eras, I guess. If you look at the Bears right now, up front, they're good, really good up front. They got good linebackers. Their secondary takes the ball away. They tackle. It's just hard for me to compare. I know as a fan right now, they're fun as hell to watch. So that's all I'm really concerned about. It's fun to be a Bears fan again.
Yeah, B, kind of same kind of deal, though. You guys were predicated on defense back then when you were playing, and now defense as well. I mean, I used to love playing against you because I knew what I was going to get. I had to make sure I had my helmet aired up. I knew that you
I used to hate playing against you.
I knew we were going to go at it. But, man, what drove you, B? Because, man, I was like, oh, B-Lack today. I got to be ready. I know he's coming in. That big head. And you had freaking a hard head, though. And it'd be cold. I'm like, damn, here we go.
Bro, you were 4 feet 10, 250 pounds. I couldn't get under you. But, a lot like you, I think, Lo, just we love football, man. I really enjoyed going to work every day. I loved contact. I think you did as well. That's why you played fullback and why you were so good for so long. I like contact, man. There are some times you could avoid it, if I had a chance to hit somebody, I wanted to hit somebody. I didn't always enjoy our collisions because most of the time I didn't win those. But it was I just like collisions. I love football. How many times do you get a chance to hit people and not get in trouble for it?
Well, nowadays, you do get in trouble for it. Do you look at
the... Not the fullback. You can still hit the fullbacks, though.
Yeah, as long as that's still there. Do you see some of the...
The guy catches the ball, you got problems. But, you can still get some contact around the line of scrimmage.
But contact in other parts of the game, do you see that being eroded from the game? And how do you look at the current football, and what does that make you feel?
It's frustrating to watch sometimes. I saw something I really liked on Saturday. I don't remember who was playing. Somebody got hit hard. A sudden impact of the play and how fast that happens. The ref just flagged right away. And then the refs confirmed and they picked it up. I was like, whoa, that never happens. I wish they could review it because sometimes those are big plays in games. 15 yards is a big deal in some of those situations, but it's frustrating. You watch the games and anytime there's a big hit or there's a even close to what they deem as targeting or helmet to helmet, it's a penalty. And it's just, the defensive players are at their disadvantage already. And I make where they can't tackle the guys.
Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher joining Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I'm not sure if you'd agree with the comparison, but second-year safety out of Alabama, Eddie Jackson, not sure he's going to be able to play this weekend awesome. As he's battling an injury. I see a little Peanut Tillman in him. It seems like he's always around the football like Peanut was. Would you think that's a fair comparison?
I think that is very fair. Different positions, but Johnny on the spot, same either way. They're both around the field. They both score touchdowns. Just always in the right spot at the right time. Peanut had a knack, as you guys know, for knocking the ball out, recovering the ball, scoring. And he's very similar. He's got a ton of takeaways. His first 2 years, I think he has like 5 or 6 touchdowns on defense. It's just amazing how well he gets the ball. And his question most weekend, I guess. Hope he plays. He looked bad on last Sunday watching that injury.
Brian, a guy that, here in the Bay, people loved. They loved him on the field, off the field. What has Khalil Mack meant to that community, and what has he meant just on the field? What does he bring?
Man, it's changed since he got there. After we robbed him from Oakland, everything is just we stole him. We got him for nothing from Oakland. It's your first round pick. Not that big of a deal. You don't know where he's playing out anyway. But it's just his whole demeanor. He's a very even-keeled guy, but on the field, he's a game record. He'll like your game plan in two plays. He plays hard. You know, I think that's, you know, a lot of these superstars you see sometimes, they don't play hard the whole game. The club's not like that. I mean, he is full bore the whole game. He's double-teamed every stinking play. I watch him play. It's frustrating for me to watch because, I mean, they're never getting the chance. And even though if they're double-teamed, he still makes sacks. He makes tackles for losses. But I just think with the mentality they have that no one can stop them, and he kind of heads that up. I mean, they're great, and he has a lot to do with that.
What has that meant for Roquan Smith and other young members of the defense to see somebody bringing it every single play at such an elite level? Does that raise everyone else's play around him?
No, it has to. You know, you see that from a guy who's made it. You know, he's the best in the league in his position, in my opinion, defensive player of the year. And you see a guy like that coming to work every day, doesn't take a snap off. You know, those pass rushers get tired, but he doesn't take downs off. From what I hear, he's at the facility, he's great, you know, around in the locker room. He's a great practice guy. But it's helped the safeties in the corners. You know, Kyle Forrest he's got 7 picks this year. I think Eddie's got 5 or 6. The ball is coming out fast, and that really helps your secondary and your linebackers when that happens.
The Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You've played in the Voodoo Dome in New Orleans. You know what it's like to go in there and try to face Drew Brees and the Saints. This Bears team, do you think if the situation calls for it, they could go down to New Orleans and beat the Saints on their home turf?
I think they can beat anybody. You know, with defense, the defense they play, and as aggressive as they are, as physical as they are, you know, if you can stop the run and make these teams one-dimensional and put the Bears in some good pass rush situations, I think they can beat anybody. And when they showed that, I know the Rams game was at home, but still, you know, they don't make the schedule. They just play the teams on their schedule and where they're played. But I don't see them not being able to beat anybody in the NFL right now with the way they play defense. And they run the ball pretty well. You know, the quarterback's a good scrambler. He can take care of the football for the most part. So I see them being a threat to everybody.
B, man, you know what? Hey, you know me. I'm in the 40s, and I'm pretty in the face, you know, slim in the waist. But B, tell me, man, you looking so good, bro. How do I get that lid back? Because I'm all ball right now. You got some love for your boy? Help load Neil out. Yeah, I can't.
That's the easy fix, man. That's the easy fix, Lo. We can hook you right up.
You can help the brothers, though? You can get the brothers growing that hair, too?
Dion got it done. Dion's like a spokesman for the company as well.
What?
Prime. He looks good, man.
I was in Chicago last year, and no joke, it appears as if you're on almost every single billboard in that city.
I know. Whenever I go back, it's almost embarrassing. I'm like, take a left here. There's my sign. I don't get back there much anymore. When I do, it's kind of embarrassing. But, you know, they've changed them finally. The last couple of years, Friday putting some new ones up, so I'm okay with that. But, yeah, man, man, this thing's taking off. People, it's amazing how many dudes care about their hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I bid farewell to my beautiful orange mane about 10 years ago, and those orange hairs aren't walking through that door. Brian Urlacher here on 95.7 The Game. Do you find that you get recognized less now that you don't have that signature smooth dome?
100%. You know, I get a lot of double take now. You know, before, plus my neck's not as big as it used to be either. But before, you know, people see the bald head and my neck, they're like, oh, that's mine. But now, you know, I get a bunch of double and triple takes because they're not sure. Most people haven't seen me in person without the hair, but they see me on TV or whatever, but they haven't seen me in person, so they're like, wait, is that him? And by then, I'm already gone, so I'm good.
You know what? Based on the career and the love that city has for you, if you and Mike Ditka were to run for mayor, do you think you could outvote Ditka?
Hell no. I don't think I'd get a vote. People love Coach Ditka.
Compare him to Jordan.
Say whatever he wants and get away with it. And it's always been that way. It's just the way it is.
What about Michael Jordan versus Mike Ditka
in Chicago?
That's a tough one, man. But I don't know. That's a tough one for me. I don't know, man. Because Michael's beloved everywhere he goes. You know that everyone in the whole country loves Michael. So I don't know. That's a tough one.
Wow, no. So, but Chicago though, Ditka is friggin' the man.
I love him everywhere he goes. I mean, we do some appearances. I'm like, I'm not even there when he's there. I'm here too, people. But he's just. His personality is phenomenal. People love him. Like I said, he can say what he wants to and get away with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's great, man. It's fun.
Oh, it was a lot of guys. I remember hanging out with some of the old Bears, and they're like, dude, he would take commercials from them. He would take more commercials than them. And they were like, Ditka told us not to do it. And all of a sudden, they seen him on the Chunky Soup. They were like,
yeah, some of them. Stories like that, too. Like, hey, we were getting out for all these appearances, and then we turn or whatever, you know, they wouldn't. Jake could be the one doing them all.
Right.
You know, make sure you're doing, you know, taking care of your body, this and that. And you see him out in the streets doing all the appearances and stuff. But he was popular, you know, when the Bears are winning, it's fun. It's a fun city to be a part of.
NFL Hall of Famer, 8-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro, Chicago Bears legend Brian Urlacher with us here on 95.7 The Game. Brian, we always appreciate you taking a few moments for us. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thanks for having me on. Lo, let me know about the hair, bro. I'll hook you up.
All right, big dog. I'm going to make sure I send you my number. Yeah. Get at your boy. Take care of me. I might grow this
let's
out
do
now.
It. Let's do this. Let's bring back the hair. You get you a deal there. We'll get you some activator. We'll get you an activator deal.
Change your name to Fro Neil, perhaps, if we can build it up real nice. Fro Neil.
What do you think about all this? You could probably, hey, come on. Down to, you get the billboards all over Fresno?
Yeah, shoot.
All over San Diego?
Oh, I'm in. I'm going to grow the do back. And Dibs, don't worry. Then I'll take care of you. How about that?
Yeah, I don't know if they traffic in orange. We'll have to look at that.
They got it.
We get some photoshops of the two of you with your hair.
Yeah, maybe some sort of like auburn or something. Yeah. Maybe
Auburn's not getting it done, Coach.
What if you just came back like blonde?
Yeah, that's not working. It's my trademark. Ever since I was a tiny kid, the orange was the trademark of the Little Dipper.
Keep it orange. They can do it. Brian, we'll talk to Brian. I'll talk to him. I'll give him a shout, and I'll send him a picture of you and photo and see if we can get us both sitting down at the same time and do it at the same time.
RestoreHair.com.
Needs a picture of Dibley in order to pull this off.
I just wanted him to see, let him take it to the people. He knows people.
Focus on your baldness here first, and I can deal with my myriad issues on my own.
Imagine you two walking through that door with just these luscious, beautiful, flowing manes.
It'd be great.
That'd be great, Dibs.
I always wanted orange dreadlocks, but I never quite got that done. So.
Did you honestly?
I did. I wanted to go mullet, maybe have a couple braids. By the time I got the courage and the confidence, my hair was gone.
You would look good with braids. So I could see you just mulling it. Back.
If Dibs does it, will you do it? If Lo does it, will you do it? And if it's taken care of, you don't have to pay for it?
If it's gratis on the house, might as well. I mean, I got nothing else to look forward to.
I'll do it. We'll talk to Urlacher. I'll do it because he's got connections. I'll do it.
He's on every billboard in Chicago.
Let's do it, Dibs.
I wasn't joking when I came back and I told you that. I took an Uber 4 miles. I saw him 12 times. He's everywhere. It's amazing. And then even with all that, Ditka is still miles away more popular than him.
And isn't it crazy for him to take a deep breath and say, when we say Ditka and Jordan, he goes, that one's a good one. That just goes to tell you Ditka was friggin' and what Jordan did to Chicago? But this in Chicago, I know Jordan, he said Jordan's more global.
Does Jordan have steakhouses? Dicka's got steakhouses all over that
and
place.
And I think, and you would know better than me, Joe, because you've spent a lot more time in Chicago, but it feels to me more of a football town than a basketball town.
Yes.
And more of a baseball town even than a basketball town.
When the Bears are cruising, it's just, you go on, you don't even consider breaking off the I was there last year. I jumped on with our sister station, The Score, and did 4 hours with them. And from 5 to 9 a.m., and the Bears were hideous. They were hideous. This was November going into Thanksgiving. The main topic of conversation was whether or not they were going to fire John Fox. And the 4 hours I was there, we talked about the Bears the whole time. We did a little gambling, naturally. But we didn't talk about anything else. It was the Bears for 4 straight hours.
Wow.
That's amazing. And they were hideous.
Yeah.
That town's on fire now. It's on, like you said, it's rocking.
Certain cities in the country, when certain teams within those cities are playing well, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Like, I came here right after it happened, but I'd have to imagine October in San Francisco when the Giants were cruising back in the day. That had to be something. The year they lost to the Cubs in the playoffs, I was living down there. Just the amount of tailgating and excitement that started in advance of that. Now, a lot of that was due to the Cub fans. A ton of them came in. But the buzz down there was amazing.
Yeah.
The
49ers,
Bears,
when they were on, though, it was hot. San Francisco.
Oh,
this is a football night, and when their Niners are rolling and they're great, oh my God.
You'd have to figure Boston, the Patriots, but when the Red Sox are cooking in the fall, that town's going nuts. When the Yanks, probably New York in October when the Yankees are competing for a World Series, I don't know if anything's going to top that. I mean, when the Panthers are making a run in the NHL, Miami,
when the Lakers
obviously are
good, when the Lakers are really good, especially now if LeBron even gets them to the conference finals, L.A. is going to be purple and gold crazy because they love a winner, and L.A. will come out of the woodwork when they have a winning team.
Interesting.
In basketball.
What was Tennessee like? Because you were part of a newer organization there, but when you guys were good, what was it like in Nashville?
Oh, my God. Nashville is one of the best-kept secret guys. I can't say enough about Nashville. And the billions of listeners that are listening, you got a chance to go to Nashville. That place rocked, Joe. We didn't lose at the Delphi Coliseum at the time when it was Delphi. Now they changed the name. That place, we didn't lose a home game. It was unbelievable. We opened that stadium up. the fans in Tennessee is unbelievable. And then we had the Predators as well. That place is a sports town, especially when you got a winning product. It really is amazing.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Since we're on this topic, do I have a second?
Mariucci in a couple minutes, but yeah, we'll get to Coach in a couple minutes when he calls, and the floor is yours for right
okay,
now.
Okay, so Dibs, I'm bringing you in this because you are a local guy from here, Petaluma, all those different things, and you're very type of guy. I look at the Central Valley kind of like it's Sacramento. Is it? And so many people travel to the Bay, to Sacramento, from Sacramento to the Bay. Is this a Kings town too? Is the Kings, is that a team you look at them? You look
here
at,
in the Bay Area?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not. No, the Lakers would be more popular than the Kings, honestly.
But really?
If you polled every person here about the NBA and you took the Warriors out, who's your favorite team? The Lakers would be the second favorite team. I don't even know if the Kings would be third. Yeah. There's a certain, like...
Because big town? Because LA's a big town? Sacramento's not?
I think it's because the Bay Area looks down on Sacramento.
Yeah. Like, I grew up 90 miles from New York City and probably about 50 miles from Philadelphia. So I was right in the middle. And that spot was just covered in everything.
Yeah.
You have Cowboy fans there naturally, but you have your Philly contingent. You have your New York contingent. You have your Pittsburgh contingent, because if you're anywhere in Pennsylvania, you're going to have a Pittsburgh contingent. But that's like the dynastic type teams like the Lakers that had runs for decades. Those teams, their fan base is really spread outside of the city.
Right.
So if LA's hot, it's going to come up to the Bay. It's going to go down to San Diego. It's going to go to Vegas. It spreads.
But you guys are saying, but the only reason I'm saying
like a virus.
But think about Sacramento, how close. So many people travel here. So
true.
This is that. That's why I think the Kings. I'm surprised the Kings don't get
it's just
more.
Not enough. No. When was the last time they're in the playoffs?
And also, I think from a pecking order standpoint, the Bay Area kind of looks down its nose at Sacramento, and Sacramento looks down its nose at the Central Valley. And the Central Valley, well, they don't look down at anyone.
They're just looking up.
I mean, I don't know if that was needed.
We don't want to leave Coach Mariucci on hold too long here.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to just eat the last word.
Former San Francisco 49ers head coach. Check him out now. He's a tremendous analyst on the NFL Network. He's been doing some play-by-play as well. Steve Mariucci with us on 95.7 The Game. Coach, I caught you on the call Saturday night. How'd you enjoy your time in the booth?
You know what? It was fun. It was, I didn't realize that was – I called the game in London. With our NFL Network guys, and then of course this one with Kurt Metaphy and Nate Burleson, and I'm doing another one right now or next Saturday too. This Saturday coming up, Redskins Titans. I had no idea how much preparation is required to call a game. If you choose to watch all the film and read all the notes and do all the homework, it's just never ending. It's interesting. I like it. It's something new for me. It is an awful lot of preparation. My office right now is stacked up with things about every player and every interview and of course, film from the whole season. It's amazing how much you can prepare or over-prepare for a game like this.
The old adage is you get paid for the prep and then you end up doing the game for free. And it's supposed to be
so much fun. Yeah, it's so much fun. And we were lucky to have a good game with Houston and the Jets. You know, the two young quarterbacks both played pretty well. And the Jets are still swinging. I credit these teams that are out of the playoffs that keep playing hard, because that's not always the norm. But the Jets were really fighting to the very end.
Folks, let's talk about this Niner team, and let's talk about Chicago Bears. How much prep have you done? And is this going to be a hard-hitting? How do you see this game? And is Chicago head and shoulders better than this Niner team?
They're a better team. They're a better roster from top to bottom. People talk about them as possible Super Bowl type teams in the NFC. But I think they are going to find out that the Niners are one of those teams that are out of the playoffs right now and still fighting like crazy. And I think the Seahawks found that out.
Sure.
I think they're going to run in. Not that they're going to run into a buzzsaw, because their defense is just so darn good, but this game's going to be tougher than they expect, and the Niners are really playing well. I'm really impressed with the job that Kyle has done with keeping this team just trying to get better every week, playing with emotion, and getting the most out of some of these young players. And then, of course, the quarterback has been fun to watch. You know, I really like Nick Mullins and Kittle's really a special player. and the defense can rise up when they have to at times. And so, you know, I just like watching this guy. They got to find a way to take the ball away from people. They're not doing that right now.
Steve Mariucci with us here on 95.7 The Game. So how do you coach that? How do you improve that? Because that's something we've talked about, and that's a great observation by you. You know, Richard Sherman, some feel, was snubbed for the Pro Bowl, but the other corners racked up a lot of interceptions. Richard doesn't even have one this year. I mean, they've really struggled to get that ball out. And then there were teams I remember, like the Bears now, and when Charles Tillman was playing, it seemed like he was able to force a turnover every time he was on the field.
Yeah, and sometimes they come in bunches, but you got to, you know, a team like the Bears who have 35 takeaways and the Niners with 5. And so you just got to keep emphasizing it in practice. It's not what you write this down. It's not what you teach. It's what you emphasize. And so the emphasis has to be on those types of things that need to get better. And everybody runs the same kind of drills, you know, and tries to teach it and tries to do it. But you need more of it, obviously, with just a couple of weeks to go. I think a lot of these improvements are going to have to be with, you know, off-season moves and grabbing some players in the draft and the free agency and improve your roster. It's all about your roster, okay? And then when you get them, coaching them and keeping them healthy. And so there's been a lot of positives with the Niners. And there needs to be a busy off-season because this roster has to get better and grow. But I think the know-how is there, and I think the nucleus is there. And so we'll see. I can't wait till next year. Both Bay Area teams, you know, need to make a big jump.
It seems like the fight is still there for the 49ers as well. Is that one of the more impressive parts about what Kyle Shanahan's doing, the fact that this 49er team is showing no signs of quit?
Absolutely. And so Michael Irvin says on occasion that hope determines effort, okay? And so what does that mean? Well, sometimes you see a team, if it gets down 14-0 or 10-0 early, that they and teams, people go, oh, they quit. They didn't play hard, and then they end up getting blown out or whatever. They quit. Well, I don't necessarily believe guys quit. I just believe that they don't believe they can win that game, that they can come back and win the game like that. And so that determines your effort. It's how much hope that you have and optimism that your quarterback can drive you back in a fourth quarter win, or you can make some adjustments and get better and eke it out, whatever. But I feel like they feel like they can keep playing. They don't blink when something bad happens. They're jumping around on each other like it's playoff time. And I like that. That's impressive. That speaks to the quality of the players. It speaks to the quality of the coaching staff that has them on the right trajectory upward. And so that's impressive. Not every team has that, like I said, but the Niners do.
Coach, you know this game. It's about, everyone talks about the quarterback position and MVP, Drew Brees, Mahomes. Why isn't enough people talking about Aaron Donald, especially playing in that 3 technique, getting so many double teams and all the different things that you have to go through, and you're getting those opportunities? Do you think more emphasis, or you just think this award should be strictly a quarterback award?
Well, it's like the Heisman Trophy. It's usually an offensive skill player with more quarterbacks than not. I think Aaron Donald's going to be the defensive player of the year at a minimum. You know, maybe low if he gets over 22 sacks and he breaks Strahan's record. I don't know, you know, because he invites a double team a lot of the time, and he is really an excellent player. He's fun to watch, and having Sue right next to him, that doesn't hurt either.
Right.
And you know, so there'll be another time where a defensive player becomes the MVP. He's not out of it, huh? Do you think?
I hope not, Coach. And I just look at these things, and I'm an old school guy. You know me. I like smash mouth football. I think offense entertains. I think defense wins championships. I look at a guy like Fletcher Cox. I look at Akeem Nix. You know those two interior line. And I saw a guy here, Buckner, Coach, and his numbers were better. Tackles for loss, more sacks. This guy doesn't go to the Pro Bowl. Explain it to me, Coach. What happened to Buckner? Why not?
Well, as you know, how many Pro Bowls did you go to?
Four, Coach. Should have been four, seven, eight, nine.
Either. Sometimes it's a popularity contest, especially with teams on the West Coast. I really believe that because the West Coast teams don't get the same kind of exposure to a national audience as the East Coast does. And so voters tend to pick people who they know. And sometimes these guys go a little bit under the radar. And that's unfortunate because there are a lot of great players out here, as you know. And then the Pro Bowl thing is always, there's always snubs. There's a snub here and a snub there. And it's unfortunate. But, you know, did you like to play in those games? Because I coached in some of those games.
It was, you know what, Coach? It was everything leading up to it. The game was, you know that, Coach. But hanging out at the pool and charging stuff on guys' room, hanging out with the coaches and having a good time, you know that's what it's about, Coach. Drinking a couple cold pops, getting a little crazy. It's always fun.
That was over in Hawaii with you, though. I remember coaching in the Pro Bowl over there in Hawaii, and it was back in the day when you tried to win the game.
Yeah.
And you really, it wasn't two-hand touch like it is right now. I'll be honest with you, okay? And so Kevin Gogan started fighting with the, was it from Kansas City, the Neil guy?
Oh, Neil Smith.
Neil Smith?
No, Neil, is it Neil Smith? Anyway, they're fighting. They're fighting in between plays, penalties, and pretty soon they both get kicked out of the game.
Wow. Right? Yeah.
And so now they're kicking them out of the game. Well, they have to go through the same tunnel to get to the locker room.
Yeah, right.
And now they're fighting. They're fighting all the way in through the tunnel.
What?
And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm coaching the game, and Milt Aldridge, the head of security, comes out to me and goes, Coach Mariucci, you got to go in there and settle down Kevin Gogan. I go, I'm coaching this game. What are you talking about? And so Steve Young is standing next to me because he started the game and he was out now. He's got a little baseball hat on. I go, Steve, you got to help me out here. Go settle Gogan down. He goes, I don't want to go in there. I go, come on, man. Sit. Go settle Gogan down. So he goes in there, and about 5 minutes later, he comes back. I go, how'd it go? He goes, you need to go in there, Coach, because he's crazy.
Wow.
These guys were going to fight in the hotel after the game. And it was like, oh, my God, I flew all the way out here to do this after wrestling
that. Oh, my God.
That NFC pride.
Oh, that's a great story.
That's what it used to be. These guys really wanted to win these games, and now they turn into just like a 7-on-7 kind of deal, you know?
Yeah.
Former San Francisco 49ers head coach.
Great
Check
story.
Him out as an analyst for the NFL Network on Twitter at Steve Mariucci. Steve Mariucci with us here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, we appreciate the time, and if we don't get a chance to talk to you before then, happy holidays to you and your family.
Yeah, thank you very much. And then, you know, keep her going, and we'll talk to you soon, and have a great Christmas then, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach. Man, what a story. We're going to do, we did decide, we haven't announced this yet, but we are going to do low story time, Pro Bowl story time around 9:30 this
awesome.
Morning, a little over a half hour. Low has got some fantastic behind the scenes stories of his trips to the Pro Bowl. Went four times, but according to him, should have been six, maybe eight or nine.
Eight or nine, I believe, was the not six, not seven. I mean, could have gone.
Just being funny, guys.
Could have gone all 12. Nice.
Take it easy.
No, you're
know,
right.
If you want, I could dig into the stats, maybe find you another Pro Bowl.
We go year by year. Maybe we think that only two of them were worthy. Maybe two of them you got popularity in there. But that's it's a great story from Coach Mariucci about Kevin Gogan. You remember Kevin Gogan as a player?
I do, vaguely, yes.
Somewhat, I don't want to say he was a dirty player, but he played to the echo of the whistle, and he wasn't afraid to do whatever was necessary to win the play. That's for sure.
Getting in a fight at the Pro Bowl. Now, all these All-Star games, everyone's hugging and kissing.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
all it is. It's just hugging and kissing. Basketball is hugging and kissing. Baseball, they're all, everyone's just exchanging jerseys and shoes.
I think the first time I ever got John Lynch really upset with me, the maddest he's ever gotten at me was in the Pro Bowl. We ran a play and he was coming in.
We were on the same Pro Bowl team?
No. We're on opposite teams. Okay. And he was running and I was like, dude, you know, John always coming in hard. And I'm like, okay, he's coming.
All 47.
Yeah. And I'm like, so I touched him up. He tried to swing at me. When he next time he come on the show, yeah.
Really?
I got
you kissed him in the Pro Bowl?
He was trying to make a play. So you realize if you go light, you're going to get trucked.
I didn't know.
You made a business decision.
Right, I made a business. And he's like, no, he came. What are you doing? And he got mad. I was like.
It's February. Yeah, we're in Hawaii.
Yes. We partied the night before.
What are you doing, Neil?
Right.
Totally.
All week long, we're partying and drinking together. And all of a sudden, I hit him. I got him. I think I dropped him. He was hot. Headshotted him.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah. So jeez. Next time we come on.
Yeah, eight or nine Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
No wonder why they didn't ask
you
back.
To just lay people out. Sorry, Coach, we're all out of time. But more Pro Bowl stories from Low at 9:30.
That was a good one.
Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
How many Pro Bowls did you go to?
Four, Coach. Should have been eight, nine.
The NFL playoffs.
One play.
Are
75-yard bomb.
Coming.
Can you believe this?
And you can hear them on 95.7. The Game.